Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 15. Mark, chapter 15. We'll read verses 7 through 15 together, and we'll read this passage responsibly. There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him who ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. Let's read verse 15 together also. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And I'll read one other verse to you. You need not turn there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done in this place. Lord, what happened this morning here was miraculous. 27 people trusting you as Savior walked on this property unsure of eternity and left on their way to heaven. Father, thank you for that. All the changed hearts and lives, but God, that's history. It won't do anything for us tonight. We've got to have your presence again tonight. Father, may we take what we learn and apply it to our lives so that we can go out and help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The passage of Scripture that we read just a little while ago, actually a story and then one verse, is just full of truth and full of teaching. I read to you again Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10. It says, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, the story that we read from Mark chapter 15, Jesus had been taken captive. Many of you have been in church long enough. You've heard the story over and over again. In the night, they come and take Jesus captive. He ends up going through a mock trial and being falsely accused and eventually ends up being crucified. But on this night, or at the time of this story, Jesus had been taken captive and he's standing before a man by the name of Pilate, a government leader, if you will. It was a time of a certain feast that the people would share together. And traditionally, at this feast, Pilate would release to the people one of the prisoners that were in his prison. There was another prisoner there. His name was Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was disloyal, first of all. And then secondly, Barabbas was a murderer. The Bible says Barabbas got involved in an insurrection. He had risen up against the leadership. And as a part of this insurrection or disloyalty, he had murdered someone. So you have this murderer, this disloyal person, and they're in prison. And then also, Jesus is there. Well, now, Jesus had done nothing wrong. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. John said, Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Jesus was that perfect Lamb that we had been watching for in the Old Testament days. He was to come. They got to see Him then, and we look back at the fact that Jesus was the Lamb of God that would shed His blood and make salvation available to us. And in that process, He was a perfect Lamb of God. I need everybody to pay attention. Look right this way. Now, Jesus had done nothing wrong, but Barabbas had committed murder. And Pilate said, Well, who should I release? Remember, the tradition was we would release somebody. And he said, Who shall I release unto you? There was a public forum, if you will. And the crowd cried, Give us Barabbas! Release Barabbas! Now that troubled Pilate. And Pilate, he said, oh, what shall I do with Jesus? You see, Pilate knew that when these religious people had delivered to Pilate Jesus Christ, it was out of envy. They were envious of the stand that Jesus Christ had taken. They were envious of His purity. They were envious of His power. And they had delivered Him, trying to get rid of Him, because His power virtually intimidated them. But Jesus had done nothing wrong. He had not committed a sin. He had not committed a crime. And Pilate said, who do you want me to release? And the crowd yelled, Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! Release Barabbas! And Pilate almost comes to the defense of Christ and says, well, what shall I do with Jesus, the Christ, the King of the Jews? You know what the crowd says? Crucify Him! Now, the crowd said that because there were some in the crowd that were going around and stirring up the rest of the crowd, influencing them to do wrong. Now, Pilate knew that Jesus Christ was innocent. He knew. Pilate's wife had even come to him and said, you better have no part with this fella. I had a dream about him, and he's okay by me. You better be careful what you do. And Pilate knew it. Even after Pilate makes his decision, he washes his hands and says, I really hate to be a part of this decision, but listen to this. The Bible says, they said, give us Barabbas. Release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. And so the Bible says in verse 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas and delivered Jesus to be crucified. How sad. You know what that says? It says, and so Pilate, willing to content the people. Content the people, you know what that means? Pilate would rather please the people than do right. Pilate wanted the people to be contented. He said, I want the people satisfied rather than satisfying God. Pilate chose pleasing people over pleasing God. That's a sad, sad thing. Pilate was a people pleaser. He was a people pleaser. Of course, he was a politician. He wanted to make sure he kept the people happy, no matter what that did to his integrity, no matter what that did to his reputation, at least with moral, decent people. He was a people pleaser. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Pilate proved he was not the servant of Christ. Why? He was more concerned about pleasing people than pleasing God. The Bible says you cannot consider yourself the servant of God if you will not serve Him, and if your goal in life is pleasing people. You know, you should always strive to please the Lord. Be a Lord pleaser, not a people pleaser. Every person here tonight should ask yourself, do I seek to please men, or do I seek to please my God? This passage here, Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Who do you want on your side, men or God? Do you want to persuade people to like you, or would you like to persuade God to like you? Are you a people pleaser? Hey, and may I remind you, you are a people too. Do you want to please you instead of pleasing God? Do you know that if something comes along in our Christian life and it's a little rough on us, we ought to be willing to make any change necessary to please God? Our desire should not be to please ourselves. You're to do what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. Oh, but I'm concerned not just about our pleasing ourselves. I'm concerned about us desiring to please people more than pleasing God. We're not to be people pleasers. That's the name of my sermon. Don't be a people pleaser. Let's see if we can think through this thing of how would a people pleaser behave? What would the characteristics of a people pleaser be? Well, first of all, a people pleaser goes along with the crowd. Are you the kind of person that always wants to do what the crowd wants to do so you can be popular? I mean, most of the people out in the world are doing what you're doing, or you're doing what they're doing, and you can hide in there. Nobody sees you. Are you a crowd pleaser? You know, you're going to find out what most of the world's doing is not wise. It's just not wise. You have a desire for popularity with the crowd versus popularity with God. That's exactly what happened here between Barabbas and Jesus. You do realize who Jesus was. He was God come in the flesh. There are people actually in the crowd saying, "Give us man! Kill God! Give us man! Kill God! Do what man wants! Ignore the Bible!" That's what they were doing. Those people actually shouted, "Give us a murdering man over the life-giving God! We choose man, not God." Hey, who are you interested in pleasing? This crowd of people, and you know something? There were probably some decent people in this crowd. Why didn't they speak up? Why doesn't the Bible say that there was this one guy? He just threw in a fit. He said, "Hey, now that's wrong. Release Jesus." Where was he? Putting his tail between his legs in the crowd. Because some people, some loudmouth people, were saying things that they shouldn't. Some of the softer spoken people just kept their mouth shut and went along with the crowd. What a mistake. I think had I been a decent Christian in that crowd that day when I got home, I would have needed to repent in sackcloth and ashes and apologize to God that I did not speak up. You know, the crowds are usually heading for trouble. Listen, folks, any old dead fish can float downstream. Anybody can follow the crowd. But not just anybody can speak up in the crowd and say, "Wait a minute, I'm different. I'm different. Hey, do what's right. Don't do what's popular in the world." You know, that's something I appreciate about our current president. He seems to do what he thinks is right, and he's not trying to please the liberal media. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. There are some loud-mouthed people out there that will try to stir up a hornet's nest for the guy. But you know what? He keeps doing what he thinks is right. Hey, don't go along with the crowd. See, a people pleaser goes along with the crowd. I can remember in 1977, I was a teenager, and I know some of you young people are saying, "Wow, preacher, were you alive back then?" I was a teenager in 1977, and I don't even know where it came from, but the popular shoes back then were high-heeled blue suede shoes. I'm talking about for men. I had me some, too. High-heeled blue suede shoes. Man, I was just as stupid as the crowd. I wonder how many things that we have done because the crowd was doing it. And we want to be a part of the crowd. Now, you listen to me. It was the crowd that cried, "Crucify him! Give us a man! Reject God! Free a murderer! Kill God!" Be careful. The crowd can be very influential. So you see, a people pleaser, he goes along with the crowd. What's another characteristic of a people pleaser? Well, a people pleaser worries about what others think of him. A people pleaser worries about what others think of him. Listen, don't worry about what man thinks. Worry about what God knows. Your ultimate concern should not be about what another human being is going to think, but what does God think? What does God think about your attitude? What does God think about what you said? What does God think about what you're doing? What does God think? What does God think? Is he pleased? Well, we get so concerned about what people think. We're not to worry about what our friends think in regard to our stand for Christ. We're to worry about what our ultimate friend thinks. That's Jesus Christ. Your friends don't know your needs. Your friends don't understand your heart. But listen to this. In Psalm 139, verse number 1, 2, and 3, it says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest me, my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Listen, why are we so concerned about what people think when God, it's not even what He thinks, it's what He knows. Our God knows all about us. He knows the needs of our heart. Why do we worry about what people think? People pleasers worry about what their friends think. People pleasers worry that their friends will think they're too spiritual. They might look down on me because I'm too spiritual. If you walk away from somebody that's gossiping, you're doing right. But some would say, well, if I did that, they might think that I think I'm better than them. Thank God. Thank God for someone that says, now you shouldn't be talking that way. Thank God for somebody that says, that ought not be so. People pleasers worry that their friends will think they're too spiritual. So, there are actually people in this room. You don't give your all to Christ because you're afraid that your friends will think you're too spiritual. They may think I'm getting carried away. There are people I think want to sell out for God and go all the way for God, but they're scared to death of what their friends would think, and their friends might say, well, who are you suddenly? Holy Joe? Well, who cares what they call you? Do what's right. Do what's right. You know, God knows all your ways. God knows all your thoughts. God knows all your needs. We will give an account to Him. You won't answer to people when you die. You won't answer to your friends when you die. You will answer to your God. Don't worry about what others think. Now, I do think that we should be kind. I do think we should be gentle. I do think we should be gracious. I don't think we should not do right because what other people might think. I'm going to do everything I can not to offend somebody, but if my living right offends them, that's not my problem, that's theirs. And don't you let people keep you from living right. The reason why some of you won't come on over and live the spiritual life is because of what you think your friends might think, but the truth is, you better start worrying about what God thinks. When I got saved, I was a 16-year-old boy. I'd been playing basketball for a couple of years for my public school, high school. I enjoyed playing basketball, and I was relatively good at it. I'll tell you, the hardest thing I did was to go tell my basketball team and my buddies that I'd gotten saved. It took me a little while. I was scared. I was afraid of what they would think. And I was wrong for hesitating. I should have told them right away. I should have stood up and said, I got saved. I'm going to start going to church. But I was so afraid of those peers. You see, people pleasers, they want to go along with the crowd. People pleasers, they worry about what other human beings think of them. Number three, a people pleaser is afraid to take a stand. Why? They fear man. People pleasers actually fear man more than they do God. The reason some of you will not take a stand for Christ is you're more afraid of people than you are God. And you got it all mixed up, baby. If there's somebody you ought to fear a holy God instead of a fallen man. We won't stand for right because we want somebody else's approval. You don't want God's approval, you want man's approval. See, a coward lets the crowd sway him to choosing wrong instead of right because he wants the approval of a human being more than he wants the approval of God. Well, let me tell you something. God helping me, I want the approval of God. I would love to have your approval. I would love to have your approval. I would love for everybody in this church to love me and believe in me and back me. But let me tell you something. If it ever comes down between me having you back me and me having God back me, I pick God. I pick God. I pick God. I don't need your blessing on my life. I need God's blessing on my life. And so do you. You don't need your blessing on your life. You need God's blessing on your life. People pleasers, they're afraid to take a stand because they fear man more than they fear God. You're not spiritual if you're that way. You ought to fear God first, not man. You know, God's way is always right. And you either stand for it or you'll fall away from Him. You either stand for it or you'll fall away from Him. Some of you, you think, well, Brother Owens, if I take a stand for what's right, I'll lose my friends. Not real friends. Not real friends. Real friends don't forsake you because you do right. They back you when you do right. They back you when you do right. Oh, Brother Owen, if I stood up about the bad music, or if I stood up about the immorality, or if I stood up about the wicked entertainment, my friends would forsake me. They're not your friends anyway. Friends will back you when you do right. Do you know that dogs attack you when you turn your back? You ever get a feisty dog? You know the worst thing to do is turn your back. Because they want to come after you when you got your back turned. Philippians 3:2 says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. You better beware. Because some of the people you're trying to impress are the ones that are going to bite you when you got your back turned. We're not to be people. We're not to be afraid to take a stand. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16 and 17, it says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He said, people turned their back on me, but God didn't. And if all your friends turn their back on you when you take a stand for right, God won't forsake you, and you and God make a majority. You need to stand for what's right. Always stand for right. Your friend Jesus, He won't leave you. You see, the reason we're people pleasers is because we're afraid of man instead of afraid of God. Psalm 56, verse number 4, the Bible says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. It's not going to be as painful as what some of you think. For you to get up from the lunch table and walk away because somebody's using filthy language. You just excuse yourself. There are some of you, you get ready to do it, you get sweaty palms, you're scared to death, you begin to tremble. Well, I think I'd be more concerned about the lack of blessing from God than somebody making a bad remark about me as I walk away from filth. You're going to take a stand. Psalm 118, verse number 6, the Bible said, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? God's watching. God knows what's happening. God knows this is the reason why many preachers put their tail between their legs and run. They're afraid of man. They're afraid of man. Preachers need to take a stand and preach the Bible and all of it. And all of it. We're supposed to. Shall I fear what man shall do unto me? I like it here. When Paul is talking to Timothy, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Thank God. If you'll stand up and stand firm and stand right, if you say, Brother Owens, every other human being on the face of the earth left me, your God will stand with you. He will not back off. He will not shut up. He won't bow down. He won't back away. He's God, and He believes in right, and He believes in you when you stand. It's time for some of you to stand up. Don't be a people pleaser. Don't be a people pleaser. You see, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? You see, a people pleaser, they're afraid to take a stand. They fear man more than they fear God. Another characteristic of a people pleaser, he tries to impress his peers. He wants to impress people. You know, people develop a certain image and they want to be able to live up to it. Even some people in regard to their spirituality. You know, we come across as if we're spiritual in the church, but when something is preached that proves we're not, we want to figure out a way to live up to our image. That's why we'll attack the preacher for what he says. But that'll make me out to look like I'm not spiritual when I am. Oh, we build images Why? We build images so that we might impress one another. We build images so that we can make ourselves look good to one another. We get the tough guy image. Or a cool image. Or a cocky image. Or a look at me, I've got it together image. Or a know-it-all image. Oh, I already know all of that. But you know what? It's nothing but a front to impress our peers. We're not supposed to be trying to impress our peers. You want to impress somebody? Impress your God. This image is merely a mask that we wear looking for acceptance and trying to figure out if we can get people to accept us because of our image. Hey, drop the image. Get spiritual. Get real. Get right with God. Don't be a people pleaser. I wonder how much time and life we have wasted. I wonder how much of our potential we have wasted because over and over again we've tried to fulfill our phony image and please people and win people to us when we should have been pleasing God. We should have been winning God. Listen to the verse in Galatians. For do I now persuade men or God? We spend way too much time trying to persuade men to like us and persuade men to accept us. You better persuade God to like you and persuade God to accept you. You're so worried about mankind. And by the way, I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm talking about making God more important than people. I'm talking about letting God make your decisions, not people make your decisions. I'm talking about letting God have His way and not let people have their way in your life. I'm not talking about being rude or unkind. I'm not talking about being vengeful. Not at all. You know my preaching. You know how I believe. We're to love our enemy. We're not to seek revenge. I'm just saying it's time for some of us to stop worrying about what people think and climb in the boat and sail off into the wild blue yonder with Jesus Christ. If you and he are the only ones in the boat. There doesn't have to be a crowd. Boy, it's a good thing that I don't preach to please the crowd. I wouldn't know what to say. How would I please them all? I couldn't do it. God made it easy. He said, I'll put it in black and white. You preach it, you'll be fine. Boy, if I had to go to your philosophy and your philosophy and your philosophy and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours, we would be a mixed up mess. And by the way, that's what most churches are. A mixed up mess. Just, hey, the young people, they're being pulled 8 different ways. Oh, if you preach the Word of God, thus saith the Lord, if you preach it and you preach it straight, hey, we're just supposed to please Him. We want to impress our peers, though. Hey, don't waste your energy finding favor with man. Use your energy finding favor with God. Hey, and you know, we're trying to impress our peers and impress our fans. You know what? So many of them are phony too. But God's real. Impressing your peers will get you no rewards in heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you win a whole bunch of friends to you and you become a part of the crowd, you get rewards in heaven. Matter of fact, the Bible says the contrary. By taking a stand in the wrong crowd, you'll get rewards in heaven. You say, well, I'm always taking a stand in the wrong crowd. What are you doing in the wrong crowd always? Should have come out of there a long time ago. Hey, do you run with the most spiritual people in the church? Are your best friends the soul winners, the dedicated, loyal, hardworking? Is that your crowd? See, a people pleaser, he tries to impress his peers. Let me give you another characteristic of a people pleaser. People pleasers are ashamed to identify with the gospel. They're ashamed of the gospel. You see, the gospel would embarrass the people pleaser. Where? In the crowd, among his peers, among the people that he's got his image with. You know, some of you have friends that you'd be scared to death to take me to go visit your friends because you're afraid I might talk about Jesus. And you wouldn't want them to tell us you're like that, would you? We were that way. The people pleaser, you see, to share the gospel would injure his standing with his crowd. He didn't want to identify with God. He doesn't want to wear the uniform of a Christian. But that would be embarrassing. Hey, you carry your Bible? If I stood up here and I said to the young people that go to the public school, you ought to take your Bible to school with you, and I think you should. I think you ought to be identified. He say, you can't do that. Yes, you can. They won't stop you from carrying your Bible, and the day they do, their Bible will have a war on their hands. They can't stop you from that. Now, they're not going to get up in class and read it, but you can still take your Bible. You can still be a Christian. You can still bow your head at lunch and pray. You can. You can. And you'll find some teachers that are very, very, very tolerant of the things that you'll do. And young people, you ought to carry your Bible. And I say that, and I hear adults saying amen. But let me ask you, adults, you carry your Bible to work? People at work know you're a born-again Christian? Your Bible out on your desk? You get your Bible out at lunchtime? Okay, but to do that is to identify with the old black book. That may cost you some popularity. You might not be able to chum up with the filthy mouth crowd at lunchtime. You won't be invited out for a social drink.
Come on, right. Yes.
You won't be invited to the cookout, where everybody's half naked and listening to bad music and drinking beer. You'd feel like an outcast. You wouldn't want to carry your Bible. You might be associated with being a Bible thumper. You don't want to go out soul winning, because to go out and knock on a door and talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, you'd have to associate with the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Have you all noticed something? Almost every invitation that we have, I say, folks, let me tell you something. Before you join this church, you better stop and realize what we are. Don't come under false pretenses. You know what that is? That's Brother Owen saying, if you don't want to be what we are, go somewhere else, but don't come here and cause division and cause a fuss. I don't win anybody under false pretenses. By the way, I did not take this church under false pretenses. You knew what I was. You knew what I stood for. You knew where I came from. You knew what I believed. I told it all to you. Hey, you better be careful. Boy, we're people pleasers. We're concerned about pleasing people. Hey, don't be ashamed of what you are. Don't be ashamed of what we are. Don't be ashamed of what the Bible is. Talk about God. Invite people to your church. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. We're really the intimidators, just so you know. Don't let them intimidate you. You have God on your side. You have the Holy Spirit on your side. 2 Timothy 1:8, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You know what that means? Some of you are going to stand up for God, and you're going to be afflicted because of it. You're going to be teased, you're going to be mocked, you're going to be belittled, but you're to stand anyway, because you are to be a partaker of the affliction of the gospel. You say, what does that mean? Jesus Christ was afflicted for you. It seems only right. What is it that you won't do for God? He gave everything for you. What is it you're holding on to right now that you won't do for God? What in the world is wrong with us? Why would we hold back anything from God? If He even preferred it, why would we hold it back? He suffered affliction for you and for me, and some little affliction comes our way. Something that's discomfortable for you. Something you just don't like. Or you don't want to go that far for God. Now, let me ask you a question. How far did He go for you? And this ought to be very personal to you. You ask yourself, how far will you go for Him? How far did He go for you? What is it that you won't change or give up for God? He gave up heaven for you, went to hell for you, suffered for you, died for you, was buried for you. What is it you're hanging on to? You won't suffer the affliction of what the gospel contains for Him? Don't be ashamed to identify with Christ. Suffer reproach for Him. He died on the cross because He loved you. He suffered reproach for you and embarrassment for you. But we're people pleasers. We're scared of people. We're scared of our family. We're scared of our so-called friends. We're scared of our peers. We're scared of people we don't even know. Shall I fear what man shall do unto me? Oh, no. I was down at Dulles Airport flying out of state to preach about a month ago. And a couple of our Sunday school classes here at the church very graciously bought me a little membership to a thing called the Red Carpet Club. It's a little private place where I can go and study. And I'm at the airport so much, it's just fantastic. I get a free cup of coffee there and a private area to go in and it's very nice. And I went into the Red Carpet Club and it was very busy that morning. When I got in there, I went over and sat down by myself in a little area, but there were two or three other chairs, and the place began to fill up. And in a moment, a man walked in, a very, very well-dressed man, had one of the fanciest briefcases I'd ever seen before. And he sat down there, and I kept studying my Bible and working on some paperwork. And then another man walked in, and I sensed in him kind of a military attitude and flavor. It's kind of obvious to me. And so the men started talking, and as they're there, I mean, very distinguished men. Both men must have been in their late 40s to early 50s, looked very successful. You could tell by the way they talk, by the way they carry themselves. You could just tell. And they were having a conversation, and I'm sure it was private. I wasn't sticking my nose in. But in a moment, one man asked the other. He said, "Well, what do you do?" And I can't remember the rank. This guy was a higher up in the military. And I remember thinking to myself, wow. And closest person I ever been to in the military was Gomer Pyle. I said, whoa. I'm sitting there and trying to mind my own business. And so this military man said to the other, and what do you do? And the man, he was a higher up in the United States government. They were getting ready to fly somewhere. And I don't know why. I was sitting there minding my own business. And they said, and sir, what do you do? I mean, we got this guy that's got all these stripes and stars all over him, and this other guy, and, you know, for a moment there, I thought, well, I gotta make something up. And then it occurred to me, wait a minute. Wait just a minute here. I do not have to cower in their presence. My father is the one that runs all the military. My father would control the entire universe and all the governments. And I said, I am a Baptist preacher. I'm the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And one man said, my, I admire you. I said, yeah, you ought to, bud. Oh, but that temptation was there. Isn't it there, that moment when we want to cower? And we want to back off? We don't have to be ashamed of what we are. I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm not ashamed of that. I'd rather be a Baptist preacher than the President of the United States. I'm not ashamed of what I am, and don't you be ashamed of what you are. You're a Christian. You're born again. Don't be ashamed of the church that you attend. Don't be ashamed of the Bible that you carry. Don't be ashamed of the doctrine that you believe. Don't be ashamed to act like a Christian and to speak up and to say your piece. Hey, this is America. Remember, one nation under God. We don't have to cower. We don't have to run and hide. No, not at all. I couldn't believe it when I read this story. There's Barabbas, a murderer. Worse than a murderer to me is he was disloyal. He had risen up to destroy. And then he murdered. And then, here's Jesus Christ. And you got a crowd of people there. And Pilate says, who shall I deliver unto you? And the crowd says, release the man! Kill God! Where were the Christians? Don't you tell me that none of Jesus' followers were in that crowd. They had their tail between their legs and let the crowd sway them. You say, do you think they screamed, crucify him? No, they screamed nothing. And if we want our world to go to waste, all good men have to do is say nothing. Just say nothing. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Don't be a people pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Not to be offensive to people. Not looking to start a war with people. Not looking to be ridiculous with people. But always taking a stand for God and right. Pleasing God first. That's what we're supposed to do. If you're not saved, you know what you ought to do? Get saved. Why? And please God. What my wife thinks, doesn't matter. Please God. What my husband thinks, doesn't matter. Please God. What the guys at the shop think, doesn't matter. Please God. Please God. It would please God if you'd get born again. If you've been saved and you never follow the Lord in believers' baptism, you know what you ought to do? You ought to get baptized. Why? It'd please God. Well, I'd be embarrassed. We're not here to please you. We're here to please God. Well, what would people think? The people here would back you. But what would my family think if they heard about me getting baptized? You please God. There's some of you need a church just like this. You know what you need to do? Please God. Please God. I really believe God would be pleased if you joined a church like this. Whatever you do, don't come under false pretenses. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. I believe the King James Bible. We believe in salvation by grace through faith. We believe in standards and convictions, and we stand for them. We believe that in a hell that's hot and a heaven that's real. We believe in preaching hard against sin and loving people very deeply. Don't come under false pretenses. Don't join our church and then cause an insurrection of disloyalty and hurt the church. Know what you're getting into. I want to please God. I'm not trying to please man. I'm not going to try to fool people into the membership of my church. People know what I stand for.
Amen.
Now, let's not be people pleasers. Be good to them. Be gentle and kind. Remember the sermon of last Sunday night. How do you handle your lost or carnal family members? You add to it this sermon. You are to take a stand. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.